理课堂听 class.com
Chapter 8
My nurse then sent a minister to see me. Recently, she had regretted all the evil crimes she had committed and begged that I regret having committed such terrible things as well. She had not been a thief for many years, but had persuaded me to continue my work. She cried for many days, insisting that she had been the reason I was in prison. No, mother, no, said I. You were not to blame. I continued my life as a thief, not you. Only I have ruined myself. 2 days later, on a Friday, I was sent to court. The two evil maids told the judge that I had attempted to steal 2 pieces of silk, value 46 pounds. I insisted, however, that I only wanted to buy the silks. But one of the maids exclaimed that I had walked out the door of the house before she caught me. At the end, the judge gave me time to tell my story. I spoke with great emotion and cried. Many in the court cried as well, after hearing me speak. Soon after, the judge sadly declared that I would soon die for my crime, as I was quite famous for other crimes I had committed as well. After hearing this, I could no longer speak. It was now that, for the first time, I felt guilty for the evil crimes I had committed. I thought about the terrible things I had done in my life, and finally felt regret. My dear nurse's minister came to see me, and to speak of my recent feelings of regret, fear, and sadness. He explained that he was not a minister for the prison, whose only purpose was to find out the names of other criminals. He had come to see me, to comfort me before my death. He was honest and friendly with me, and I began to trust him, as I had never trusted another person before. I told him all the secrets of my past. He visited me again the next morning. He comforted me, and I desired to be forgiven by God. I no longer feared death. During the next 12 days, he came to visit me frequently, and we would discuss my past life and God's forgiveness. Soon after, however, I received news that I would die very shortly. I was terrified and again felt hopeless. The day before I was to die, the minister did not come to see me until the evening, which greatly shocked me. Although he told me that he had been speaking to the court judge, begging to have my sentence of death delayed, I was overjoyed to hear that I would not die the following day. 2 weeks later, the judge decided that since I was guilty of only one crime, I would not yet be punished by death. I waited the next 15 weeks in that terrible prison, waiting for news of my future life or death. I was then told that instead of being killed in Newgate, I would be sent as a servant to work in America. My dear minister, however, worried that I would again become a thief, as I would be traveling with others from Newgate, who were as evil as I had been before being caught. I knew that before my departure, I had to speak to my husband, who had been in Newgate for quite some time, although he and his 2 comrades had not yet gone to court. There were several people who had planned to swear in court that the 3 gentlemen had robbed them, but these people had recently disappeared. Many believed they were given money not to speak, as the 3 robbers had a great fortune together. I went to see my husband, although he did not recognize me, as I hid my face from his view. At last, however, he asked me if I knew him. I then turned to him and asked how he could not know me. He then saw my face and immediately knew I was his dear wife. We spoke for quite some time about our lives after we had parted. He explained that he had returned to life as a robber after he sadly discovered that I had no fortune. I explained that I had gone into a house to buy some furniture, but the maids had insisted that I was a thief. I, as well, had the problem of being called Moll Flanders, a famous criminal, although my husband did not know me by this name. I told him that I would soon be taken to America to be punished as a servant in Virginia, and that he should request to go as well. He had not yet gone to court, and might be allowed to leave for America. He insisted, however, that a gentleman could not do such work, and he would rather die in Newgate. I patiently explained, however, that there were many ways to quickly return to England, or to become a wealthy gentleman in America. I begged him to go with me, explaining that if only he had money as he did, we would surely have no troubles. He refused, but I spoke with him for quite some time, and finally he told me that he would trust me. I told him he would be fully satisfied with his choice of going to America. Soon enough, we were taken on the ship to leave for America. For the first night, we were locked in the lowest deck, guarded heavily by prison officers. I feared that we would not be able to go above deck before our departure. The next morning, however, before we left on our journey, we were allowed to go above deck. I asked a sailor on board if he could deliver a letter to my nurse, requesting some goods to take on the trip. I gave him a shilling to deliver the letter, and he immediately noticed that I had a great deal of money in my purse. After seeing that I was quite a wealthy prisoner, he was rather helpful before the departure. I sent my nurse a letter, explaining that my husband and I planned to go to America as servants, although we were both now wealthy and could easily buy our freedom. Then we would buy land to farm to gain a great income from the land. I decided I would not find my mother and brother, who was once my husband, as I did not wish for them to know I was a prisoner. I also requested that she send me certain goods that I could sell upon arriving in America. The following day, the helpful sailor returned with a letter from my nurse, who was delighted for my journey, as I would not be killed in prison. My husband had not yet come on board the ship, but my nurse assured me that he would soon arrive. Some time after, I saw him board the ship, which greatly eased my worries. My dear nurse promised me that my husband would very soon join me on the ship, and went to Newgate often to request that he immediately be sent to the ship. When my husband finally did arrive, I was delighted to see him, although he looked rather upset that he was to arrive in America as a dangerous criminal. He was sentenced to work as a servant for 5 years upon our arrival in America, as I was as well. Although my poor husband was quite angry at being treated as a prisoner rather than a gentleman, I explained that we would soon have no worries and would once again be considered a wealthy couple of fortune. He became quite tender with me and became quite cheerful at no longer being in Newgate. He once took me in his arms while telling me,
"My dear, you have saved my life twice. I will always take your advice."
Our first business was to compare our wealth. He was very honest with me and told me he was quite wealthy before entering the prison, but had spent a great deal while in Newgate to continue living as a gentleman, which was quite expensive while in prison. He only had £108 left. Before entering Newgate, I had between 700 and 800 pounds in the bank, but had spent a great deal on court fees and payments to live comfortably in a miserable prison. I had nearly 246 pounds left to take to America, although I left 300 pounds with my dear nurse. I had, as well, a number of gold rings and watches, all of which were stolen. Together, my husband and I had 354 pounds to carry to Virginia. With this fortune, I left with my husband for a new life in America at the age of 61. I left as a poor criminal who had just escaped being killed in Newgate. The clothes I wore were poor, and no one on the ship knew that I had a great amount of wealth with me. However, I had many good clothes and other goods on board, although I had shipped them using my real name rather than my criminal name of Moll Flanders, which I would collect after we reached Virginia. Soon before the ship was to depart from England, I went to speak to the sailor who had helped deliver the letter to my nurse. I told him that my husband and I were not poor criminals, but were rather unlucky in our misfortune at Newgate, and desired to know whether the captain could move us to a more comfortable place on the ship during the journey to America. I then placed a guinea in his hand. He took the guinea, as I could see, with great satisfaction, and assured me that he would help me. The next morning I was taking a walk around the ship when the friendly sailor came to speak to me. He told me that the captain was very curious to meet me, so I went to see him and was warmly greeted. The captain explained that my husband and I should not worry about having a comfortable voyage to America, as he assured me that we would be provided for. He insisted that we stay in a cabin near his, which was quite elegant. He, as well, invited my husband and I to have our meals with him. So I paid 15 guineas for my husband and I to live comfortably on our voyage. I was delighted to hear that we were allowed to stay in a private cabin near the captain, as I could now carry a great deal of goods to America without fearing that they would be stolen. I then sent a letter to my nurse, asking for liquor, sugar, lemons, etc., to treat the captain to excellent eating and drinking. I also requested many tools and materials for farming, as my husband and I planned to buy land to farm. A short time later, my nurse arrived on board to see me before my departure. She was delighted to see my good fortune in riding to America, not as a terrible criminal, but as a respectable gentlewoman. During her visit on board the ship, she mentioned to the captain that my husband and I were quite anxious about arriving in Virginia as servants, not the gentleman and lady we indeed were. The captain told my nurse not to worry, as we could easily find someone to buy us as servants, as we were sent from Newgate to be bought as servants for our prison punishment. Then, our owner would declare us to be free, after which we would buy land to farm. The captain promised my nurse he would help us upon our arrival. My nurse and I were then satisfied that I was leaving for America, as I would be well cared for by the captain, and could begin a new life in Virginia as a gentlewoman. During the trip, we often dined with the captain, while drinking bottles of good beer and wine. Nearly 42 days after leaving England, we arrived in Virginia, after quite a pleasant trip with the cheerful captain of the ship.